But I like us, we don't have a long time this morning, because apparently you have a lot of work to do. So the housekeepers, maybe, I guess. So let's take our Bibles, and we'll open to Psalm 145. This is really a psalm of praise to God for his greatness. But let's pay attention as we read through it. The Jewish people had a tradition, apparently, that if they quoted this psalm three times every day, they would truly be blessed. It's one of their most precious psalms. They hold it in very high regard. David's Psalm of Praise. And the way we usually do this is, because there's so many different translations, we each read a verse. So we'll start on this side this morning. And since Brother Phil is at the head here, he'll read the first verse, and then we'll just work our way through. And then we'll come to Brother Jim, and then maybe this row, and then switch back there. Okay, like that. Then we can figure that out. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Phil. Start us off.
I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I'll praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts.
They will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonders.
Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love.
It's okay.
He is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you.
They tell the glory of your kingdom, and they speak of your might.
So that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season.
You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his way, and loving towards all he has made.
The Lord is close to all who call on him, yes, to all who call on him in truth.
He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them.
The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so sometimes I like to hear what you have to say, but because of time, I'll try to help us this morning. But I do that, so in the morning meetings, be ready to share something, all right? So, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I feel that at times we don't praise the Lord in a manner that he's worthy of. Do you understand that? We come into a meeting like this or in the evening, whenever it is, and people start to praise the Lord, and maybe we do it not with our whole heart, or maybe we don't do it at all. It's not one of those things where you can say, well, I'm praising the Lord on the inside. You know, sometimes people will say to me, you know, Brother Phil, you ought to smile more. I say, I am smiling. All right, this is my smile. I'm smiling on the inside, all right? But when we praise the Lord, it has to be something that comes from within. It's, you know, I don't know if you've seen a picture of a volcano erupting. You know what that looks like, right? Imagine trying to keep that volcano in that mountain or whatever. It's impossible. And when we know our God and when we've experienced his work in our lives, and we're going to come to that, what he has done for us, who he is, it just wells up within us.
and we praise him.
You see, the greatness of our God requires that we greatly praise him. Who is God? Does this psalm tell us who he is and what he has done? He is the king. You know, David made these psalms very personal. His praises were very personal. I will exalt you, my God and king. Have you found God to be your king? Can you honestly say that this morning? God is my king. He's the one who's in charge of my life. He reigns over me. It goes on to tell us that David desired every day to praise you. Every day. You see, David was one who knew that he had to exercise his will. And if you read the Psalms, note all the time says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Every day here it says, I will praise you. I will praise your name forever and ever. So again, that's something that we could take, you know, instead of trying to make it, you know, in life in general. Let's start with today. Today, and then maybe our time here at camp. Could we begin every day by praising the Lord? Could we purpose in our hearts that today, Lord, I'm going to praise you? And I know that involves not only the things that come out of our mouths, that we praise him with our lives, the way we live. But does your life bring praise to God? The things that you do, the things that you say, does it praise God? I think sometimes we live in a way that maybe isn't pleasing to God. We come into his house and it's difficult for us to sing. It's difficult for us to praise because there's things that aren't right. But we ought to make it our purpose in these days to say, Lord, I want to praise you with my whole heart. I want to give you the praise that you deserve. It seems that our way of praising the Lord is maybe not something that's done everywhere, but it's something that we feel is important and right and precious. And so we want to continue, and we want you, young people, children, to learn to praise the Lord. Now, why does he say that we should praise him? He says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." Now, what do you think that means? One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. What does that have to do? I mean, what is he saying there? We should give testimony, right? So that's another thing we like to do at camp, right? Everyone's going to give a testimony. Right, Raquel? Yes, of course. We're going to, why? Because it's good for you to get up and to tell what God has done for you. Sometimes back home, Sister Gladys says, I don't give her a chance to testify. But then she says, call on me. So she hasn't said it yet, but I will at one point. But the point is that what Sister Gladys has to say is good for all of us to hear. And what Brother Jim testified of was good for all of us to hear. It's one generation passing on what God has done to the next. It's good for my children to hear your testimony. Uncle Tom. Yeah, I'm sorry, you just be there. Uncle Tom always has a good testimony. You want to hear his story. Tyler, go ask him while you're here one day. Say, Uncle Tom, what has God done in your life? And he'll tell you. Wonderful things, right? And all of us, we have a testimony to share. And it's our responsibility, this generation. I've often said, you know, if my children don't get to know God, it's not their fault, it's my fault. You agree with that? Takes you kind of off the hook, right? in a certain sense, it's my responsibility, we as adults, to pass on what God has done to the younger people. One generation shall tell of their mighty works, of thy mighty works. We're going to pass it on. And you know what we're going to find? That God is the same. God is faithful. Our brother Stephen reminded us of that. That what God has done in the past, he wants to do today. He wants to do it again. Do we have faith for that? Lord Jesus, you are able. We praise you. Your mighty acts. What are some of his mighty acts? What has God done? Is Calvary a mighty act of God? Is redemption, your redemption, a mighty act of God? No one else could save you. No one else could pay for your ransom. But God sent his Son. What a mighty act that is. We think of creation as, again, of course, creation is a mighty act of God. The fact that we're here is a mighty act of God. The fact that we can breathe the air and we feel the sunshine, that's a mighty act of God. But redemption, that he stooped to lift us, how we ought to praise him, to meditate on his wonderful works. I just wanted to, we don't have time really to go through this whole psalm, but verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Now, I wanted to ask you, when we talk about God's goodness, what comes to mind when you say someone is good? Let me tell you what I think it doesn't mean. You know, someone will say to me, Phil, you want a soda? You want something? I say, no, I'm good. You ever say that? Yeah. Someone, no, I'm good. Or good as opposed to being. If something's good, maybe something's better than good, right? So good in our vernacular is something that's maybe not the best. So that's not really what it's talking about when it talks about God's goodness. So what is God's goodness? What do you think? His righteousness? I think God, and someone else, God's goodness.
He's so loving us.
His loving, his character, right? His love for us.
What about mercy?
His mercy. I think when it talks about God being good, we say God is good because someone said to Jesus, good master, and what did he say? There is none good but God, right? None good but God. The fact that God is good means there is nothing bad in him. Absolutely nothing. There's no evil in God. There's nothing that we would equate with being that would seek to do harm to anyone. You know, the gods that that were made of man, you know, man's imagination, they were more like us. You know? The gods of the Greeks and the Romans. But our God is a good God. And there's nothing evil. He always does what is right. God is good. He always does what is right. Do you always do what's right? No. So our goodness is a man. You know, someone says, you're a good man. You're a good man. That's relative. Well, there's a measure there, right? But in God, when God is good, there's no measure. It involves his love. And it goes on to say, you know, when Moses said, God, show me your glory. Remember that prayer? Exodus 30. God, show me your glory. How did God respond to that?
Abundant in goodness.
Yeah. I'm going to walk by, I'm going to show you my goodness. And this is what it is. I have compassion. Someone said that. I forgive. I'm merciful. The goodness of God to us. Now, think if God wasn't a God like that. If God gave us exactly what we deserve, right? Probably none of us would be here. Right? Isn't that true? I mean, you've heard that before, right? If God gave you exactly what you deserved, the only thing that you really deserve because of our sin is what? Is death. Is death. But God, in his mercy and compassion, has stooped to lift us. Let's remember God's goodness to us. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That's his glory. It's not in that he's necessarily all powerful or that he knows everything or that he's everywhere present. Yes, those are wonderful attributes of God, but the thing that makes God great and glorious is the fact that he is gracious, he's full of compassion, he's slow to anger, and he's of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And then he goes on to speak of the kingdom, the glory of his kingdom. And just in closing, if we just look down at the verses, it says this: the Lord is righteous in all his ways, verse 17, and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto them that call upon him, to them that call upon him in truth. And this morning we began by singing that song, Nearer, Still Nearer. And it says here that the Lord is near to us. We desire to be near to him. We express our desire and say, Lord, come nearer to me. But all the time he's wanting to come nearer to us. And if we would just give him that chance and that opportunity to reveal himself to us, I believe he would draw us all closer and nearer. And here it also seems to indicate that when we need his help. Have you ever had just a moment where you just felt you were in trouble and you say, Lord Jesus, Lord help me. You ever say that? You ever pray that? I do that. Sometimes I do it maybe, things get a little bit hectic, right? A little busy, and say, Lord help me. And I remember my dad would say that at times, I remember Mom saying, well, don't say, Lord, help me. Say, the Lord, you are helping me. You are helping me. Say it in faith. You are helping me. You are near, because as you say, if I call, you're right there. You're near. And it's not that God ever moves away from us, but we don't realize how close he is. And when we turn our attention to him and we lift our eyes up and say, Lord, I need you, he's right there to respond to our cry. Those of you who will be counselors, you might need that. Amen? These 2 weeks, and all of us, those in the kitchen, wherever, whatever our job, we might feel overwhelmed. And what can we say?
Lord, help. Lord, help.
We call upon his name. And then this verse yet, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. This thought about desire is just in closing this thought. Desire is something that my dad talked about, motivation. And I think desire is closely aligned with that thought. What is it that you want? Maybe that's the way we say it, right? What do you want? What do you really want? What is your desire? Do you really desire God? Do you really want Jesus to be precious to you? Do you really want him to be your king? It says here, the Lord fulfills the desire of them that fear him. Those that fear him have holy desire. Those that walk in obedience to his commandments want to please him. And so when we are walking in obedience to God's word, God gives us desires for himself. And then he fulfills those desires. Jesus said it this way, all who seek, find. All who seek, find. You will search for me and find me when you seek with all your heart. And so I'm so thankful the Lord will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. And I know that you're here because you want Jesus. I mean, you don't have to be here. Did someone make you come to camp? Did your parents make you come? Honestly, come on. But really, I don't. Chris, did someone make you come to camp? No. And I just pray that while you're here, God would meet you. He will, as you seek him. But you have to seek for him. Do you understand that? You have to have desire. And if you don't have desire for God, you ought to say, Lord, put desire in my heart for you. Put desire in my heart. What is it that you really want? And maybe if the Lord showed you things that maybe you're desiring that are not His will, then you ought to say, Lord, I just lay them down. I want what you want. I want your way. So, let's praise Him. Is He worthy of our praise? Yes, He is. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that together in closing. It's number 18. And stand as we sing. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So is God good?
All the time.
God is good. Amen. Yes, Brother Morgans, lead us. Come. 18. I'm going to check up on you, staff, and I'm going to see if you're praising the Lord in the kitchen, and if you're praising the Lord in the dining room, and housekeepers, grounds. Brother Tom, I want to know if they're praising the Lord or not. In the office. Oh, see, left racist, does he? They're praising the Lord in the office, and in our cabins. What are we doing in our cabins, huh? Are we praising the Lord? Praising my Savior all the day long. Verse 3. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer, higher, and greater will be our when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Priest, pray with us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence.
Your presence means salvation. You are here to work. Work in us and work in all those who will be coming upon these grounds in these days. Lord, give us a faith that will enable you to fulfill your own desire, your purpose. Oh, Lord, how great is your desire toward us to do us good. Jesus, let your works be multiplied, I pray. We ask this in your precious name. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. God bless you.